The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
AM 970 presents Eye on Real Estate. This is your premier source for real estate information. From the hot properties in the tri-state to the latest in real estate market trends. From mortgage news to answers to all of your real estate questions, you'll be in the know with help from the experts. Call now, 866-970-9622. 866-970-9622. Now, here's your host for Eye on Real Estate, Douglas Elliman's CEO, Dottie Herman.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. I hope you're keeping nice and warm, although today seems a little bit nicer. I'm Dottie Herman, and this is Eye on Real Estate, the only talk show on real estate and all about real estate and everything that has to do with real estate, which in this world, in this day and age, other than politics, just about is everything that has to do with everything.
Jerry Feeney, obviously, everyone knows my co-host. He might be watching the game with half an eye and doing his law work on the other end, okay? But Jerry is one of the best-known real estate attorneys in New York, and he's here always to answer any legal questions you might have in the field of real estate, anything that has to do with real estate. So, again, good morning, Jerry.
Good morning.
I missed you last week. I thought I'd get to see you, but I know you had to go. So maybe this week I spoke to our friend, and maybe we could all get together.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Our mortgage and finance expert, Ace Watersupart, is here today. And Ace is vice president of Citizens Bank and probably knows more about mortgages and the real estate market than anybody in the business. And I will say, if you're buying or refinancing, it is a wonderful time now.
Yes.
Really, the time is right. If you can, I don't say buy a house just because of interest rates, but, you know, those of you who didn't refinance, and Ace, what do you like to refinance? The rates now are what for refinance?
They're at an all-time low, Dottie. You know, it's sort of like that perfect storm that I've been saying for the past couple of weeks. On a 30-year fixed rate, you can get a rate of 4.25 still.
Okay, so let me ask. So tell all our listeners,
yeah,
how much would they have? How much would it make sense for them to, you know, in other words, if they have a 6 point, what would the interest rate have to be for it to make sense for them to refinance?
You know, the rule of thumb is at least 1%, so that the closing costs that you're paying, you're going to actually make back with the difference in percentage rate. But, you know, anywhere from 0.75 to a whole percent. So if you're looking at a 5% rate today, you would be a candidate for a refinance. So
I know it's a lot of work to go through your papers and see what your interest rate is.
We'll make it seamless. You know, give us a call.
But if you're not sure and you're just not sure and you took a mortgage out, if you call Citizens Bank, even if you took it out for somebody else,
yeah,
we'll look it up. We'll find it out because it's just 5 minutes of your time and it could save you so much money over the lifetime of your mortgage.
Exactly.
So don't neglect to do the things for you. I mean, I'm a big culprit and I tell you, I do everything for everybody else, and sometimes I neglect the most important things for me, and that's why my house still isn't done.
And Dottie,
after 3 years.
It's a great way to consolidate like all of your debt, too, like credit card bills and things of that nature where you're paying high interest rates. It's a
good
way.
So if you have high interest rate credit card debt and you combine, you know, you can talk to Ace or somebody at Citizens, and they can kind of give you an idea of what you can combine, and you combine that all into one.
All into one.
And then a lower interest rate. So it's not only if you're buying a house or refinancing. If you have debt, you might be able to bring that interest a lot down.
Yeah.
You know, I know people, Ace, that have debt, and I'm telling them you can never pay that off. You'll be paying that for the rest of your life. And this is a good time to really look at your debt and see if you can pay it off. And see that you can get the interest rate, because most people are paying mostly interest on their debt.
Yes.
You want to know something I read, Ace?
Yeah.
I mean, this is in the Wall Street Journal actually today, and it's just, Jerry, you're not going to believe this. It says student debt at age 65 is the title. It's the Wall Street Journal. It says older Americans are being crushed by a mountain of student loans of their children's and their own.
Why are they paying their children's?
Because it says, I'm just reading right from the Wall Street Journal because it caught my eye. It says $86 billion in student loan debt owed by Americans age 60 and over.
Wow.
Okay. 161% rise in total student loan debt for those aged 60 and over from 2010 to 2017. And it just says that American, generation of Americans owe $86 billion in student loan debt at the last count, and they are over 60 years or older. Some of them are 80. Many of these seniors took out loans to help pay for their children's college tuition or are still paying them and are still paying them off. Others took out student loans for themselves in the wake of the last recession as they went back to school to boost their own employment prospects. So some of them went back to school when we had the job shortage to either retrain or learn some other skill. And they owe. So, that's hard to believe. Now, you don't want to be one of those people that are owing student loans at age 60. Although, I was talking to one of my assistants, and he was telling me that he took a student loan out. I don't remember how many years ago. He's only 25, so it couldn't have been that long ago. He said he took it out for, $25,000 or something like that. And he's calling Ace to help him because... Yeah. His debt now, and he's paid the payments. It's not that he hasn't paid the payments, but his debt now is $27,000 after paying the payments over 5 years. Mm-hmm. He said the interest rate was 11% or something.
We're actually helping him refinance his student loan here.
So that's another thing. If you're a grandparent, a parent, or you're a student, and you took out a student loan, look at the interest rate.
That's really
it
might important.
Have been at a time when the interest rate was a lot higher, and you're paying a lot of. You're paying a high interest rate, and maybe there's something that Citizens Bank can do. Yeah. I know they're helping my assistant out. That almost seems criminal.
I agree with Jerry, Dottie. Why are parents paying for the student loans? I know it's a nice gesture and all, but at 60, 80 years old, they should really be.
Don't borrow money for your kids to go to school, college. They can get their own loans. I'm serious. They really can. You can't go into debt for your kids' education. Particularly if, I see some people doing it and their kids are pulling C's and I'm like, wait a minute.
But wait a second. It doesn't tell you. It says that these people are over 60 or they're 65 and over. But it doesn't tell you how long they've been paying it. So maybe because to me, if you're 65, that means you had kids kind of older in life. I'm sure a lot of them just are paying it over tons of years. Because, if you were 65, your child, that means you're... That
the
means
kids can qualify for their own loans, for student loans. Really, people should not be going into debt for their kids' college, in my opinion.
Because well, let me ask you, because I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I did pay for my daughter's schooling, but let me ask you something. Although maybe her grandparents.
But you didn't go into debt for it.
I think her grandparents left that to her. But let me ask you something. If your child needs a student loan. Why would a parent do it if the child could get the loan?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, because they can get the loan.
Is it a better interest rate, Ace?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so. I think maybe they took out a loan to help pay for their college tuition.
Extra expenses.
Yeah, extra expenses maybe.
But, I went all through college and law school all on loans, and paid them all back, but all on loans. And you can get them. There's no question the kids can get them. They're more than happy to give them out because – the interest rates are so good,
Well, Jerry, that was your generation, which I know is young, but not the generation of today. So I think a lot of parents really want to do what they can. I think most parents want to try to make it easier for their kids than we had it. Mm-hmm. Of course, I worked since I'm 13 years old. But you know what? It didn't hurt me. Yeah. It gave me a good work ethic. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And I think that when you do... I think that you should help your kids, but I think that you should also give them some responsibilities too, because otherwise, you create kids that are not responsible. But I'm just trying to understand if a child can get a student loan, then why would the parents take out student loans? And maybe they needed extra money, or maybe could two people take it out? No,
I think you can co-sign. I'm pretty sure.
I don't think it's federally guaranteed. There's no need to co-sign.
Exactly.
Well, okay, so let me put it this way. If people over 60 and 65 are carrying that much in student loans that they still owe, imagine what students must be carrying that are 40. Oh,
right. Yeah.
So I think that's kind of a little crisis that I know we're into the political of, you know, back and forth and nothing's getting done. But that's one of the things they should tackle, because I do think it's important for every child to get an education, regardless of whether their parents can afford it or not. I think we owe that to all of our kids, that they all are able, if they want to, get an education. And that does not mean that I don't think we should help them with vocational schools or being electricians and things of that nature, because that's just important in many ways they make more money. So I think that's one of the things they should look at, because one of the reasons the millennials are having a hard time buying, at least from what I read and what from Ace tells me, is they're carrying a lot of student debt.
Yeah.
Now, when you have student loans, what's the interest? Is it usually a discounted interest rate or no?
It's not great.
It's not great. And it ranges, too. You know, I've seen anywhere from 9% to 12%.
So. Okay, so why would that be? Why would we not? I mean, this is not anyone's fault, but I'm just thinking this is an issue that we should bring up.
It's a topic that we
discuss. Why should we not?
Well, I'm sure in Washington they'll do something about it. I mean, they're so effective in getting everything done. No, I mean,
well, I think really, if they stop fighting and they concentrate on some major issues, I really think that educating our kids is very important.
Yes, it is.
And
yes,
I think that we're not giving them, I mean, I think it's good that we give them loans, but it seems like we're giving them interest loans at higher rates than the interest rates are.
Yeah. I think that we have to take a hard look at, you know, what types of loans we're giving to people that are going to for-profit institutions that are really not producing degrees that are useful in the market. And I think it's, sometimes people get kind of suckered into them, and then they're loaded down with debt, and they're applying for jobs as receptionists.
If you're studying, like one of these kids told me, Italian literature?
Yeah, Italian literature online, you know. Come on.
Oh, well, I don't know about, you know, look, they advertise online schools. I really don't know how effective they are or not, so I have nothing to say because I've not done my homework. But all I'm saying is any education can't hurt. And I do remember back when I was a kid, and it was called a professional student, because there was a war going on in Vietnam, if I'm not mistaken, kind of. And so I remember I was probably in like the 10th grade, and there was a lottery. And I would remember that, you know, that night guys were celebrating. Either they got a high number and they weren't going, or they got a low number and they were going. So they were all. But I do remember, okay, that they were like, so they became students forever.
Right, professional students. Or people just don't want to get a job.
Some people just don't want to get a job. But I don't know if I would want to say, gee, the job that you're going for is not useful.
No, not that necessarily, but I think that the reality is that a lot of these degrees from some schools that are for-profit institutions are not really valuable in the marketplace, you know.
Well, I think
employers are crediting them.
I think it's wonderful to get an education, but I think that parents and children and their kids together should kind of look at what's in demand going forward, what does the world need. And I don't say you should do something you don't like, but you might want to look at the skills you need today, because a lot of the baby boomers really can't fulfill those jobs, no matter how hard they try. They're just not born with it. So, of course, you always need teachers, you always need dentists, you always need doctors, you always need things like that. But you know what? There's a lot of jobs, and even jobs that are not requiring college, like there's electricians and plumbers, okay, and things of that nature, which really make a good living, and I don't think we have enough of them either. So I think maybe it's a nice parent-child discussion before they go to school, because I'm not sure, you know, I'm not sure when you're 17 or 18, unless you kind of know really what you want. I remember my daughter used to toss in bed and, Mom, what am I going to do? I don't know what I want to do in college. And I think a lot of kids go to college not sure what they want to do because you're young. So, you know, I'm not sure what I recommend, but I think a good business for education is important. The academics are, like, great, but they limit you to particular fields. So it's a good discussion to have. I think we're going to have a break, but I want to thank Citizens Bank for their support of this show. And they make it very easy on the customers. And look, for any of this information, you can call Citizens Bank. And for a limited time, you get a 25% discount, 0.25 discount on your interest rate, plus an additional 0.25 discount off your rate.
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask you to repeat that when we come back again. Okay? And by the way, forgive me if I'm not 100% today, but I do have the flu, so I'm trying.
It's I on Real Estate. Got a question? Call 866-970-9622. Here's Douglas Elliman's CEO, Dottie Herman.
Okay, we're back with I on Real Estate, and we are done with our technical difficulties. We were saying before the break that Citizens Bank is giving a great discount for us, and we want to thank them for sponsoring our show, but they're also giving a limited time offer discount of...
It's a purchase incentive. It's really for the spring market, and right now you can take advantage of it. It's a quarter point on the rate on a purchase, and then an additional 0.25% off if you have a Citizens Bank checking account direct deposit. So that's a half a point off of the current interest rate today. So
if the current interest rate is 4-something,
let's say it's 4%, you'll get a rate of 3.5%.
Now, that's really
a really big deal.
I wouldn't forget that. There's no application fees. There's no closing costs. And the offer is only for borrowers that do not currently have a Citizens Bank HELOC and apply online. So you have to apply online?
You have to apply online,
Go to citizensbank.com. Okay? Citizensbank.com. And if you have any problems, we won't tell. You can call us and we'll make sure you know how to get online, okay? Okay, because you don't want to not take advantage of that. That's really a big savings. Later on the show, one of our favorite guests is back with us, the entertaining Dan Sader, who I would give Jerry the credit for naming his internet site.
It was something his email from the most impossible to write down email ever to an easy one.
Jerry gave him a makeover.
Just on his email.
And who would think that anyone could make the topic of credit interesting? Well, Dan does, and he's nationally recognized a credit expert and a credit coach for the credit repair industry. He knows a lot. He also originated loans for a lot of years, so he's versed in that. And did you know that debt collectors are using artificial intelligence? You know, I've been talking about AI a little bit on the show, telling you it's really... in play. I mean, we're using it all over. People just don't realize it. And they're using artificial intelligence to determine who to go after to maximize collections.
Yeah.
I guess they want to figure out the best candidates to get the money from. More about that later at 11 o'clock. He'll be on. And again, our number is 866-970-9622. Please, you can email us if you want to, radioshow@element.com. Or you can follow me on Facebook or Twitter, Instagram, or DottieHerman.com. Or just call in at 866-970-9622. I always tell you what happens on this date. So on this day in February 2nd, 1852. Okay, this is kind of interesting. The first public flushing toilet was opened in London, 95 Fleet Street. Okay, so before then, I guess, toilets didn't flush. You had to kind of...
And outhouses.
Outhouses. Ugh. Boy, have we come a long way. On this day in 1974, and I remember this movie because I loved it, Barbara Streisand had her first number one hit with The Way We Were.
Remember with Robert
song?
Redford.
Yeah. And by the way, I just rented Lady Gaga...
Star is Born.
I thought it was wonderful.
I didn't love it as much as everybody else did.
I loved it. Did you watch Bohemian Rhapsody yet?
Yeah, didn't love that one as much either. I didn't think they did a great job with one of my favorite bands of all time.
It is one of my favorite bands, right? Yeah. I mean, I just...
I mean, it was really Freddie Mercury. I mean, the other band members were talented, but he was the band. I don't know. I just didn't think it really caught up. But everybody else loved it, so don't not see it because of what I say.
We'll see it no matter what.
Yeah.
I mean, you can see it because you can rent it now, and it really... I mean, you might not love it as much as I did. Actually, I love the Lady Gaga one better.
Really?
I love Queen, and I just thought they did a better. I thought she was a great actress, which I didn't think she would be. I thought Lady Gaga. I thought they did, and he's so cute. So, anyhow, that's just my thing. And Barbara Streisand, "The Way We Were," was just one of my favorites. Also, on this day in 1932, Al Capone was sent to prison on tax evasion. Whoop-de-doo. We all know that. And if you were born on this day, you're an Aquarian. And when Aquarians meet another, they never feel the necessity of hiding anything from each other. I don't know if that's true, but that's what they say. However, they will be going against the grain of each other's nature and will not be able to continue the relationship for too long. So I think Aquarians and Aquarians don't make good matches. And by the way, I think the groundhog.
Yes, Punxsutawney Phil.
He saw his, I mean, we're going to have spring, it says.
He saw his shadow.
Yeah.
Well, that means it's going to be a longer winter, I thought.
It was, I listened to it this morning.
Yeah.
And they said it very rarely happens. We're going to have spring early. So, wouldn't know it by the weather we have, but maybe we're just going to have a blitz of this freezing and then it'll be over.
Well, there's also one in Staten Island. I don't think they do that one anymore. Didn't Mayor Bloomberg accidentally kill that groundhog?
Oh,
he dropped him or something?
Oh, you have a good memory.
One of my favorite mayoral moments of all time. The mayor goes to Staten Island where he doesn't want to go to do this groundhog thing anyway, and the poor groundhog jumps out of his arms and to his death. So I don't think they do that anymore. Staten Island, it's a good idea not to.
Well,
they did
do it at one time.
Yeah, well, Punxsutawney Phil is the real one, though. That's the
official. That's what I thought I heard this morning. Yeah. I thought it was Phil. Mm-hmm. But we could do it.
I wonder where that came from, that
Who
whole
knows?
Tradition.
It's fun, even though I don't really believe it, but it's fun. It's a fun thing. Anyhow, real estate continues, by the way, to be the top wealth-generating vehicle, and that's from American Genius. And from an investment perspective, real estate continues to be the top source of wealth in this nation, even after the economy suffered in the past years. So that goes back to what Jerry and I have been telling you for years and years and years over the long haul. And, of course, buying right. Real estate, you don't get rich overnight, but it's a solid investment. According to Morgan Stanley Wealth Management Investor Pulse Poll, 77% of millionaire investors owned real estate and 35% owned related investments to real estate. Why is real estate different from other real estate? Why is it different from other investments? And I've talked about this on the show, and so has Jerry. Real estate, on the hand, has the capability of pulling in money every month if you have investment real estate. Unlike other investments where you really take a gamble on appreciation, with real estate you can crunch the numbers to make sure your property will generate income. And that's what we're talking about, investment real estate. And most real estate appreciates over time. I mean, but again, it's when you sell it. Like if we're in the middle of recession and you have to sell it, then that might not happen.
Yeah, you got to be able to weather the storm.
And you know what I tell you the biggest difference is? When was it? In December, it was around the holidays at the stock market all overnight, like God knows when to heck. And real estate doesn't drop like that, unless there's a national disaster.
Yeah.
Real estate doesn't one day do great, and the next day it dropped to heck, and you lost everything.
Right.
Okay? It doesn't happen that way.
The other thing, too, is with a mortgage, when you're paying it off, you can think of it as a forced savings every month. You're repaying principal every month at the bank, you're buying back equity. And if that's a couple $1,000s, you're forcing yourself to save by paying back that mortgage. So when you sell it, that money's going to come back to you.
And don't forget,
real estate. I mean, for most part, people take mortgages out, and you are buying and going to get the same appreciation whether you put 10% down or 5% down or 20% down or pay it all cash. So in many cases, you're leveraging on somebody else's money.
Mm-hmm. Other people's money, as they say.
I thought this was an interesting survey, and I just kind of like to give you some fun stuff, too. But this is really not fun. This is by HousingWire.com, and it says most say they plan to borrow from their equity to make it happen, and that half of the baby boomers' homeowners plan to age in place. So a lot of baby boomers are going to stay where they are. I mean, they might have a second home if they can afford to. But it said more than half of the baby boomers plan to age in place, electing to renovate in order to meet their changing needs. And that was a survey released by Chase and Pulsomics. And I don't know how reliable, you know, surveys are surveys. The Housing Confidence Index surveyed 3,000 heads of households, 753 which were baby boomers, and they said they will never move from their current home. And 88% said they plan to make improvements to their home, with bathroom renovations topping the project list.
They're going to take me out of here in a box, as they say. You know, not leaving.
Yeah. Nearly two-thirds of the respondents say they think their home values are rising in the area, which provides incentive for homeownerships to tap their equity in order to age in place. And that's when you can do a reverse equity and things of that nature. But homeownership is in, no matter what age you are, whether you're a baby boomer or you're a millennial, the veterans, I think they're probably, you know, in their final place of where they're going to be. But even, okay, but it's just the American dream. It always has been and it still is. We're going to be right back. I'm going to tell you some of the features that buyers don't want.
It's Eye on Real Estate. Got a question? Call 866-970-9622. Here's Douglas Elliman's CEO, Dottie Herman.
Okay, that's 866-970-9622. And before I do some of your questions, I just wanted to talk a little about when you're looking for a home, it becomes very confusing sometimes. What do I want? What do I need? And you can jump from town to town, and that's not a good idea because the values are all different. So I just wanted to give you a little thing of what I think is a good thing to do when you're searching for a home, whether it's your first home, your second, you're moving up. And that's what we call desire versus needs. So, because you're never going to get everything, all right? So maybe you give up a home with a pool, but you got a porch instead. So you might not have gotten the yard size you want, but at least you can grill. So a lot of buyers felt prepared when they bought their first home. They felt they weren't prepared, but the fact that, well, they sat down and you make a list, okay? And they made a list of, first of all, what do you need? That should be on your first list. What do you need? What do you absolutely need? Do you need to have transportation that's close to your job? Do you need to have a town that maybe you could walk to? Maybe not. Do you need to have a certain type of school district? Maybe you have a special needs child. Maybe you have a gifted child. Or just is the school district important to you because you have children? I mean, okay, what you should down is put down, do you need a certain amount of bedrooms? You might need three but want four. So you want to put down what you need, okay? And then in the second box, what you desire, okay? And they're very different. And when you're looking for something, all I can say is make sure that you satisfy your needs first and then your desires. And if you can get some both, but you don't want to sacrifice a need that you have to have for a desire. And sometimes that can happen. So that's kind of what we try to look for, because everyone gives up something. I mean, there's usually no perfect situation.
And I think the first thing you start off, especially if you're a couple, because then you're going to have different interests, what do you absolutely need? Like, Ace, if you were buying, you have a lot of homes. What would be some of the important things that you would need?
That I would need? I'm not really demanding, but, you know, I do like new, right? So if I buy something, I don't want to have like a fixer-upper. I just want everything to be brand new, so...
Okay, so one of your needs would be to buy something that was pretty updated and pretty close
updated to what... kitchen, bathroom.
Okay. Now, that might not be your need. Your need might be, hey, I want to be in a certain school district. Yeah. Or I want to be close to shopping because we don't have two cars. Or I don't want to drive 3 hours or 2.5 hours in traffic to work. So put down your needs and then your desires. And when you're looking for a house, I think sometimes that can help sort it out. Jerry, what do you think?
I was just thinking about, I think, you know, number of bathrooms is important. You know, it's hard to add a new bathroom if there's not existing plumbing. So, you know, I like my own, I like everybody having separate bathrooms.
But again, you could like that?
I wouldn't buy a house with just one bathroom in it. I just wouldn't buy it.
That is true.
I grew up in a house with one shower.
We all did. I think most of us did because I think in those days it was different. I think they built houses with one bathroom.
Four-bedroom house with one shower in the entire house.
And everyone had to take turns.
Oh, God.
Yeah,
awful.
I know. My father then built another bathroom somewhere in the basement or something. But today's a different time. But I still say again, you know, you might want the fourth bedroom, but it's not. It's a want. It might not be a need. You might want three bathrooms, maybe, but you only need two. So kind of look at those things, and I think that can help you because sometimes what happens is the more you see, the more confused you get. And you say, well, I like the kitchen, but I like it in the house in this neighborhood, not that neighborhood. Oh, I like the fact that it has a big rec room, but I really like the space and the yard and the land on this other house, and you're all over the map, and then you get confused and you can't make any decision. So that's a good way to kind of narrow it down. And just so you know, just for the heck of it, it's kind of a fun thing. Well, 70% of the people said they don't want elevators. Well, I have news for you. This survey is really great. It was from the Daily News. But truthfully, most houses don't have them. Okay, so
it's not a very common feature in a house.
I don't know where they came up with this list. Pet washing station. Well, I would think that that's not usually a need. That might be a want. Yeah. Now, if it's a need, I'm not telling you shouldn't be. But for most part, that's usually a want. Most of these are wants. A wine cellar. I just saw an apartment the other day on the West Side that was fairly reasonably priced, and it had like a little wine cellar that if you want to rent, you can put your wine there. I think that's probably a want. I don't know if that would be a need. Daycare center in the community, that might be a need. If you have young children, you want to see where the daycare center is if you're working because you don't want to have to drive it to get, you know, if it's too far, it's really cumbersome. Whether you want a single family home or a multifamily home, or maybe you're flexible, but that could be a want or a need. Like when they say dual toilets, they say only 44% want them. Well, because I don't think somebody wouldn't buy a property because they didn't have that.
No, I think they're talking about dual commodes. Have you seen this in certain bathrooms?
You mean with his and
hers? I think
it's
bizarre. Yeah, his and her commodes in a master bathroom suite. I think that's a bit much.
Well, they also have his and her master bedrooms. Because I guess if you have that kind of money and you can afford to have a bedroom together and each of you have your own separate bedroom, I mean, why not?
But I'm a big advocate of having separate houses also.
why not?
Visit each other on the weekends. But people were not meant to live together.
And by the way, billionaire Ken Griffin bought New York's penthouse for $238 million, and it's the most expensive U.S. home ever sold.
And it's not even finished, right? Isn't it?
Yeah. He closed the deal to buy the most expensive home ever sold in the United States, paying around $238 million for a New York penthouse overlooking Central Park. And by the way, if you live anywhere close,
that certainly raises your values.
Yes.
Okay.
But he's still got to build it out, right? He's still got to.
Yeah.
It's just a raw box. So he's got to do that.
The deal is
I hope
a
he
lot.
Has money left over.
Okay. And he has spent more than $200 million to buy land, and he's been in Palm Beach, Florida, for a home he plans to build there. I guess he didn't build it yet. And this week, news broke that he purchased a $122 million property in London, which is the most expensive sale in London in a decade. So I guess he's got money to burn. I mean, if you have it, why not? But I'm just saying, real estate, real estate, real estate. I mean, and as I said, it's not like the stock market. It doesn't just fall overnight, okay? As long as you can hold it. They had something from the Wall Street Journal. I thought it was kind of fun. And since I have the flu, I'm in a fun mood today because I don't want to be too serious with myself because I'm sick. But in this annual contest, readers pick their favorite homes from the winner of last year's polls. And New York and California, by the way, contributed 19, and there were 52 winners, and New York and California contributed 19 of the 52 winners. But readers preferred homes just outside major metropolitan markets. The first, second, and third runner-ups were located on the outskirts of two cities. One was on the outside of Canada. The median price was, what was it? The median price was the median price of the 52 homes was $7 million. And when I tell you what they all have, you know, vineyards and mountain views, and some had ocean views, and some had water views, and some had tennis courts. So you really can't go. You have to look at your own needs and what's important to you. And then I know for the millennials, it's not kind of in your DNA to think that maybe you could do it in a year or two. But if the house or the property or the apartment has what you need, and there's some wants and desires that you want and it doesn't have, look for something that possibly you can do it down the road in. You don't have to get everything, you know, if it has room for a tennis court and you can do it, you might not have it there, but as long as it you can put one in, you might be able to say, okay, we'll do that in 5 years. If it has a nice size kitchen, but it's not modern, maybe you can say, well, you know, it has everything else we need, and the kitchen's the right size that we need. It just needs to be modernized. And so those are some of the things that you should kind of look at, because there is no perfect place. A good time to buy in the Hamptons, just a tip, if you're looking for a second home in the Hamptons, there's a lot of inventory on the market there now. And I think you can make some good deals. So if you're looking for a second home, I know it's freezing, but it's a good time to really go out there when the ice thaws, because there's a lot of inventory. And before when it gets closer to the summer, the people say, well, you know what? If I don't sell it, I'll rent it. Right now, there's a fair amount of inventory. And so if you're thinking of doing a second home or even a rental on a second home, I think I would start to look now. I think it's a pretty good time to look for a second home. I had some questions that I wanted to go through, and I have to really, okay. And it was a Dear Dottie question, and it says, my co-op board has turned down two prospective buyers for my apartment. I'm retired, and I want to move, and I believe that the co-op board thinks I'm selling too low, and it will affect the prices in the rest of the building. What do I do? Elizabeth from the Upper East Side. Jerry? Yeah.
This is such a common complaint. So when we hear that a co-op board has rejected two of the buyers for the same apartment, a couple of things are possible. Number one, sometimes there's a dispute going on where they're punishing that person. We've all had clients like that.
I've had that. I've seen that happen.
Yeah. The co-op board does not like the seller, and you'd think they'd want to get rid of them, but they punish them for a while first by doing this, which is terrible. The more common issue is exactly what the writer is speculating, is that they don't like the price. And this is a constant criticism that I've been having, you know. Co-ops think that they can change the economy, and they can't. You know, the market dictates prices. And if you study economics, you learn that the more illiquid you make your particular commodity, the lower the price is going to go anyway. So they're actually doing the inverse. By making this more illiquid, harder to sell, they're actually driving down prices because people find them less desirable because of the inability to liquidate them when they go to sell.
So
the market dictates price. You know,
okay, but Jerry, I mean, I don't know if I have an answer either. But Elizabeth asked, what should she do?
I would try to have a conversation with the board. They don't like to talk about these things. But if you're a shareholder, say to them, look, I'm not asking you to reconsider. I just need some guidance. Tell me what you don't like about these candidates so I can find somebody that pleases you. Is it the price? Is it their financials? What about them isn't working?
Do you have a right, Jerry, as an owner in a co-op, when your buyers turn down, to find out, is it financial?
You don't have an unfettered right to it, but you can always ask.
Okay, and that is why I stress going to a company like Douglas Elliman and working with a broker, especially with co-ops,
especially with co-ops,
I stress this, that knows the co-ops in the area that you're looking for.
They know the nuances.
Knows the board, knows the nuances, because they will know pretty much if you're going to get in or not, or be able to guide you on what you'd have to do to get in, and believe it. I know this sounds absurd to anybody who's never lived in a co-op, which is most people, outside the city. If you dot an I rule, it could hurt your chances of getting in. So you need to work with a broker, and that's a really important question to ask the broker when you're looking for a co-op. Have you worked in this area with co-ops before?
Yeah.
Have you worked with the board? Because it is an art. And let me say this, that I originally started on Long Island, so they didn't have many co-ops there.
Right.
And when I saw what you'd have to go through in the city, it's not something that somebody can learn easily.
And also, if you're a broker that hasn't worked the building before, I always tell a broker, listen, call the managing agent. Just have a nice conversation. Say, listen, I'm new to this building. I'm getting a listing. Give me a little help of what you're looking for. Oftentimes, they'll give you some guidance on the parameters financially that the board is looking for.
Yeah. So that's the answer. I mean, maybe you can just talk to them.
Yeah. Tough situation.
We're looking, and we don't have time for this question. I'll do it after, and then we'll have Dan Sader. We'll do a few more questions, and then I think we're going to do some of our topics. I have some very interesting topics for you today. We'll be right back after the 11 o'clock news.
Eye on Real Estate with Dottie Herman is sponsored by Citizens Bank N.A.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.